This episode of Gators Breakdown is brought to you by Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping and two free gifts this Father's Day when you purchase the new Perfect Package 3.0 kit with promo code Gators. Head over to manscaped.com and purchase yours today.
Gators Breakdown. The Gators Fan Podcast. Because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown Podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Waters, and you can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC, coming to you the day of Charles Montgomery committing to the Gators over Maryland. So big news there as the Gators get some good news on the recruiting front after a rough couple months here since the pandemic. But we kind of saw this one coming. Led to believe Florida was going to be the pick today here on Sunday, May 24th, Memorial Day weekend, and Charles Montgomery picks the Gators over the Terrapins. And also this episode, we'll talk about the football players coming back on campus in June, and also the one-time transfer rule. The NCAA has decided to table that, so not happening this year. So a couple of topics, won't be too long of an episode, but of course with the big recruiting news here with Charles Montgomery picking the Gators, we'll go ahead and get an episode of Gators Breakdown out for this week. Before we get there, remember you can find Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/Gators Breakdown. You'll find all the Gators Breakdown episodes there, as well as News4Jax coverage of the Gators. Please share, rate, and review the show. Subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. And follow Gators Breakdown on social media, on Twitter and Facebook, at Gators Breakdown. So Charles Montgomery, four-star athlete from Sefner-Armwood, commits to Florida over Maryland, 5'10", 185-pound athlete that's played running back and wide receiver in high school, rates as the 241st player overall in the class of 2021 and the 35th prospect in the state of Florida. Rivals list him as the 200th overall prospect in the class of 2021, so a top 200 player, according to Rivals here. So in recent interviews, he hasn't said necessarily where Florida sees him, but mostly as a weapon, wide receiver and running back that can move him around in the slot. Slot in the backfield at running back a little bit too, what he's done in high school. So use him as a weapon in that athlete role, move him around the offense, create some mismatches with him. That's what the Gators are getting here in Montgomery. I think staying close to home and him and his mom and grandmother played a huge role, I think, in picking Florida here as well. So, and also just being used as that weapon under Dan Mullen and this Dan Mullen offense. So 24/7 gives a scouting report of Montgomery. Quote, a compact build with muscle already developed in the upper half, just a shade under 5'10", under his 5'10 listing. A utility man of sorts that has lined up at both wide receiver and running back at the high school level, can produce long gains out of the slot, as his straight line speed oftentimes proves to be a mismatch for opposing defenses. Will carry the ball in between the tackles, but needs to get more comfortable with contact. Has a knack for making acrobatic catches, but needs to be more polished when it comes to route running in college. Should eventually develop into a starter at the Power 5 level and could be used in a variety of different ways depending on the offensive scheme. And I think this offensive scheme that Dan Mullen has, it is a perfect fit for a player like Montgomery. Montgomery is responsible for 36 touchdowns in his 3 years of high school, his freshman, sophomore, junior years, and 15 came this past junior season for Montgomery. So, with Montgomery being committed to the Gators will move up to sixth in the 24/7 Sports composite team rankings. And 24/7 Sports includes Montgomery as the 16th commitment for this class, as they have added JUCO commits, safety slash linebacker DeJuan Black, and offensive lineman DeAve Hammond, who, of course, a couple classes ago were, committed to play for Florida, didn't get the grades to get in, went the JUCO route. And it looks like, they'll be on their way in Gainesville for this 2021 class as well. So another thing to kind of point out maybe about this commitment here is, hopefully this helps with his teammate at Sefner defensive tackle Desmond Watson. 6'5", 325 pound, the 350th ranked player on 24/7 Sports Composite. He's rated a 3-star while being rated a 4-star on Rivals. So 24/7 Sports Composite, which puts them all together, I think 24/7, Rivals, ESPN, overall 3-star, but Rivals thinks a little bit much higher of Watson here as a 4-star. So many out there think Watson is an underrated prospect and are waiting to see his senior season. But he's doing pretty well in the camp circuit before all those got canceled earlier this year. So, you know, Florida looks to be good and in good standing here to eventually gain his commitment as well. So before we move on to other topics here in this episode, finish up another thought here on recruiting. And the next prospect to watch coming up with a decision is 4-star Edgewater wide receiver Christian Leary. Leary will more than likely decide between Florida, Oklahoma, and Alabama on June the 6th. I've heard a lot of good buzz for Florida on this one, a lot for Oklahoma as well. Not as much for Alabama. Florida, because, of course, a lot more closer to Florida sources and a lot more closer to the Florida program. So going to hear some good stuff there. But Oklahoma's been that other team lately. I've heard some things about there. So, you know, Florida has some things working for them here in location and Mullen himself really targeting and keying in on Leary and really selling how he'll use his versatility in this offense. And much like Montgomery, you know, he plays wide receiver and he'll line up in the backfield too, but more as a direct snap wildcat option here. So would be a big, big pull from Mullen to pull him away from, you know, schools like Oklahoma and Alabama and what those teams can sell wide receivers at this point and the offenses they've produced the last few years. You know, Gators could use a talent like this and continuing to get really good talent at wide receiver and skill players, especially, you know, after Alabama was able to pull Ja'Cory Brooks away from Florida, you know, after the Gators felt good about that a couple weeks ago, and maybe the thought, you know, Florida was going to get him leading up to his commitment a couple weeks ago, but ultimately choosing Alabama in the end. But you know, just the last couple of cycles here, you know, getting Xavier Henderson, Ja'Quavion Frazier's, hopefully Leonard Manuel, we'll see what ends up happening there, but he wants to be at Florida, waiting to get cleared. There's some mixed reports out there about, you know, signing financial aid papers with Ole Miss, but he denies that and he wants to be a Gator. So hopefully all that gets cleared up. He gets cleared to be a Gator coming up in the next month or so. And, you know, to continue at wide receiver, you add in Justin Shorter and if Florida can keep commitments from Trevante Rucker and Charles Montgomery, just recent commit today, and hopefully add in soon Christian Leary, then the Gators wide receiver core and group in that room, I mean, it's in great hands in years to come. And the recruiting has definitely bumped up there, especially, you know, the huge pull in getting Henderson last cycle there. So, you know, they've had a chance to get some more guys, of course, and then they've missed it there too, but been able to get some good options there at wide receiver. And I think you can feel pretty comfortable about where the Gators are in the wide receiver room coming up 40 years to come. So before we move on, support for today's episode comes from Manscaped. Manscaped has the right tools to get the job done quickly, safely, and hygienically. Father's Day is just around the corner, and you probably need a gift for your hairy dad. So get him and yourself the Manscaped Perfect Package. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming hygiene. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essentials Kit. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents, nick-free shaving thanks to Manscaped advanced skin safe technology, and of course, let's not forget about the crop preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits, right? So why not put deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? When you purchase the new Perfect Package 3.0 kit at manscaped.com, you get the biggest bang for your buck. Subscribers get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer always stays fresh and clean. For a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag, a $39 value, and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. This is an awesome Father's Day gift. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Gators at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code Gators at manscaped.com. manscaped.com. And be on the lookout soon. We're giving away a Manscaped product. So we're doing something good on social media, Twitter, if you're interested. And maybe you can get one from the guys at Manscaped. So some more good news. Football is closer to happening for the 2020 season. In the last couple of months, you know, there have been all kinds of questions about the season happening due to COVID. And, well, we're one step closer to the season happening with the SEC last week, the school president's decision. Now, this past Friday, to allow voluntary in-person athletics activities back on campuses across the league. So the UAA for Florida also announced on Friday after the SEC that Florida's student athletes will start to return on campus on June the 8th. So UF writer Scott Carter contributed to this report at FloridaGators.com. Student athletes' return will happen in multiple phases over a period of several weeks, and student athletes competing in fall sports will arrive first, starting with the initial group of football players who will begin physicals and COVID testing on May 26th. Returning soccer and volleyball student athletes will start coming back on June 15th, and returning men's and women's basketball players on June 29th. New student athletes in football, soccer, men's and women's basketball, and volleyball will begin arriving July the 1st. So, University Athletic Director Scott Strickland and the school's return to campus plan emphasize the student athletes' safety above any other factor. Quote, our sports medicine team has worked closely with the experts at UF Health, including the infectious disease staff, to make sure we're taking every precaution necessary when we bring our athletes back, Strickland said. The only way we would bring them back is if we felt we could do so in the safest manner based on the data that has been developed. The experts know a lot more than they did 2 months ago about the virus. And as part of the standard pre-participation physical exam, all student athletes must be tested for COVID-19 before the start of any physical activity on campus. So, you know, once student athletes are returned and are cleared to begin training on campus, they will be screened daily with temperature check and health questionnaires. And as part of the plan, all student athletes must wear personal protection equipment during each appointment other than for lifting sessions. All weight room equipment and facilities will be sanitized each session and then again at the end of the day. And Florida strength and conditioning staff will follow national guidelines for a safer return to training following a period of inactivity. Quote from Strickland as well, we're so blessed to have so many talented people working on our staff and working on this campus and other areas, Strickland says. This is a lot of conversation, a lot of thought, and a lot of planning, which is one of the reasons there is confidence in the return plan. And it may adapt and morph as we go along and start to integrate them back into campus. So, look, there's still, of course, there's still a lot of questions about how this stuff is going to work out and take place, especially for the season as well. But these players, of course, they're going to have to be taken care of. You know, I'm sure a lot of parents are worried about, you know, the fact of maybe their kids going back to campus and all that. And we'll see how it works out. Probably some of the players as well, but I'm sure they're ready to get out of their house. They'll be in a good, safe environment on campus. You know, they'll be probably safer there more so than anywhere else out there with all the precautions taking place. So, you know, with this, it does look like we'll have some type of football season this fall. And a lot of questions surrounding that as well. Will fans be allowed? If so, how many fans will be allowed? I know we all want football, but, you know, but will a decision be made on when to start the season, you know, be based on if fans will be allowed to watch inside the stadium? You know, if they want a full crowd, will they delay the season a bit till there's more data out there that shows that can happen sometime in the fall? We don't know. We'll see how all this turns out. You know, will schools be fine if it's a partial, socially distant crowd? If so, you know, say goodbye to any home field advantage. You know, it would be odd to see a quarter field or half field stadium or no crowd at all. But, you know, also part of it too is so weird if we had like no tailgate. You know, if there's no tailgating allowed on campus or tailgating with very little people, you know, if they don't police tailgating. And I can see fans showing up to games and, you know, tailgating together and watching on TV or something like that, put up big projector projectors or something like that. But you know, if you're going to tell people they're going to practice social distancing inside of a stadium, not sure how you can allow it to happen on campus as well. So I think there'll be, if there's policing inside the stadium, I think there'll be policing outside of the stadium and on campus as well. So just kind of something to look out for. And I think the big question here is with players coming back, you know, what happens if there is a positive COVID test or an outbreak when the team gets together in these next few months? What happens if some teams on the schedule decide not to play this season? Hopefully that decision is made well in advance, but you may have some schedule inequality out there. It looks like a season will be played this fall, and for the most part on time as scheduled with everything the way it looks now. But another question worth bringing up is, you know, what if a team has a severe outbreak during the season and during game week? I'd say there's a good chance that game gets canceled or delayed at best. So look, all these questions, we just really don't know answers to yet. And hopefully all goes smooth and we don't have to worry about it. We don't get those scenarios. But contingency plans, of course, are going to have to be in place for those scenarios. And it's definitely a good thing. We're seeing some normalcy return. Hopefully it's being done the right way. I believe it is. But of course, we're just going to have to see the results of kind of everything opening up right now. And of course, campus opening up a bit for these student athletes in the next few weeks. Definitely worth keeping an eye on a couple of weeks after all these players get together. Good thing is they're getting tested as soon as they get on campus, and nobody would be put in danger initially. And hopefully with campus being not as popular, not as populated as it normally would be, that these guys will stay. But you don't know what these guys are going to be doing in their free time. Are you really going to tell them they can't go out and go do things and all that? So you know, I think you'll see continual testing just to make sure everybody will be safe all summer long, and we'll get a football season sometime in the fall. To wrap up this episode, of course, you may have seen it late last week, and this probably will affect the Gators somewhat this fall. The one-time transfer waiver has been put on hold for this coming year. So Brett McMurphy reporting that one-time transfer waivers are dead until at least 2021-2022 academic year, as the NCAA Division I Council approved a resolution to develop legislation regarding transfer eligibility for January 2021. That would not be effective until 2021-2022 academic year. So look, guys, for Florida's purposes here, we were hoping to see transfers Lorenzo Lingard, Justin Shorter, Jordan Pouncey on the field this coming season, but they'll need the traditional waiver to gain eligibility to play this season. Lingard has his waiver in, and most expect that to pass. Shorter, we'll see. There's some mixed feelings on if he'll get cleared this year as well. So you know, those are the two players the fan base is excited to see, two former five stars, of course, transferred in from Miami and Penn State, respectively. So we'll see how it shakes out, but they will not get the one-time transfer policy. Probably will pass next year. I think with everything going on with COVID and all that, and some schools out there that may choose not to play football this fall, I think there might be a worry of, hey, this school – just saying out west, because the Pac-12 is kind of the school that's getting targeted here of maybe not playing this fall or not a normal play. Look at that school out west. They're not going to play this fall. If there was a one-time transfer policy out there, you might see a mass exodus of West Coast players who want to play football this fall. And who could fault them if other teams and schools around the country are going to play, but their school is not, that they would leave if they had that one-time transfer policy. I think you'd see seniors who would miss out on the season. You'd see them in mass exodus to try and go play and get ready for the draft. And it's not the majority of football players, but I think a lot of them would see it that way. And maybe just freshmen as well who were looking forward to playing in their first season and have to sit out and not play the season. So I think that's one reason it may have been tabled. And plus, there's probably a lot more than NCAA. Look, I think they got this wrong for the most part. But I think we'll see it pass next year. I think they'll eventually get it right. But I do think with everything going on in the world right now, there's probably bigger things to worry about from the NCAA. And I don't even know if it's the same teams who make these decisions based on COVID and what to do with that, plus this one-year transfer waiver. It may be completely separate issues here. But I think, just with everything going on, that probably they thought it would be best to kind of table this until next year, till a lot of things get figured out in college sports. So that's kind of how I see it playing out. And I think it passes next year. But for Florida and the 2020 season, that Lingard, Shorter, we don't know for sure if they're going to be on the field or not. So definitely glad to bring some good news to Gator Nation here. Like I said, short episode right here, but had to come on the heels of Charles Montgomery picking the Gators over Maryland. I think it's a good pickup for Florida, being a player that can be a weapon in Mullen's offense. We've seen what he's been able to do with Kadarius Toney a bit the past couple seasons, and we want to see Kadarius Toney be a more well-rounded receiver. But he didn't have that experience in high school, and he'll a player like Montgomery has that experience. And so I think we can see him used very similarly than what we saw for Toney the last couple of years in Montgomery. But Montgomery is going to be a more polished route runner, a more polished wide receiver. So I think we can definitely see more of a potential of being a more consistent playmaker instead of the up and down of Kadarius Toney, whether it be a 40-yard gain or 10-yard loss. I think we'll get a little more consistency from another player in that role who's had experience in high school to be able to bring that to the college game. I think that's what the Gators are getting here in Montgomery and how he fits into this Dan Mullen Gator offense. So Memorial Day weekend, of course, just wanted a quick episode here, get back to some family time, all that stuff this week, and I'll get the part two of the opponent whip around coverage, the second half of the schedule out soon. Got all those phone calls made, some great previews of the Gators' second half of the schedule. If you missed the first part, go back a couple weeks ago, catch the first part, the first half of the Gators' schedule. A lot of good insight there of the Gators' schedule. So I'm David Waters, host of Gators Breakdown. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Guys and girls out there, thanks for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdown.